the thing is, relationships and business objectives and incentives and the way that we operate from a from any perspective really does not change from country to country. No matter what currency you're paying for your food in, the basic principles and fundamentals of food service distribution and the responsibilities of a distributor and a restaurant do not change. All right, what is going on? Welcome back to the Food Service Distribution Podcast. I'm your host, David Layton, and today is the 1st of July, 2020. It has been over 10 days since I recorded my last episode, and I am so sorry for that. I had a family situation where I had to get on a plane and fly to the Midwest. Did not bring any of my recording equipment, obviously, but now I'm back. Now I'm thinking fully about restaurants and distribution and food. So I wanted to take this opportunity to think about and to ask some questions about something that should be, if not top of mind, maybe second or third in line. And that is whether or not you should have a backup distributor. So maybe you've never even thought about it. Maybe you have multiple distributors calling on you, but you've been with the same provider for several years or decades, and you just haven't thought about it. So before I get into it, I want to say that me being a single distributor, I love having my customers' undivided attention. I think it helps with the business relationship. It helps solidify the trust between me and my restaurants. But there are definitely benefits to having multiple vendors or multiple distributors in your restaurant as well. The second thing that I wanted to say before we jump into the list and start going over some things is that there's no right answer here. There's going to be a different solution that works for every restaurant or every chain of restaurants. So you might be more comfortable with one, you might want two or three, you might want several or as many credit applications as you can fill out. That's how many distributors you like to have. So it's completely up to you. This will just help you kind of think through the process. So before I jump into it, I just wanted to give a state of the industry, something that we are seeing in the news. I saw a story this morning come out from restaurantbusinessonline.com. This is, again, it's a great resource. I've quoted some articles and talked to these guys in the past and past episodes, and they came out with something today that you probably already saw somewhere in the news or somewhere on social media, that restaurants, specifically these ones in California, are starting to shut their dining rooms again. And it has been mandated in 19 counties that restaurants close their dining rooms. And we're also starting to see the same thing in other areas, in restaurants and bars. So depending on what area you are in, you might see something similar. You might hear that you are going to need to shut down for the next, just for this upcoming weekend or maybe for the next few weeks. But this, of course, is due to the COVID-19 cases in the United States starting to ramp up again. So that's all I'll say on that. Just something to consider going into the busy weekend that you, if you haven't heard by now, so by Wednesday, the 1st of July, that you are needing to shut your dining room, you're probably okay in the region that you are in. But it's something to think about going into the summer, going into the busy summer months, that we might have to dial that back and shut the dining rooms again, which of course is frustrating to most people or to most restaurant operators. But this is just, you know, par for the course, something that we have to deal with in the industry that we are in the middle of this incredible shift from how the world was in February of 2020 to how the world is today. So that's all I'll say on that. Now, let's talk about distribution. Talk about multiple distributors. So what are some of the pros of having a single distributor? So that means as a restaurant, you have set up an account with and you are ordering food and getting food delivered from just one single distributor. Let's start with pricing. You can, and you have the ability to, negotiate price and try to get price down with the piece of information as leverage that you are only buying from one person. So you can go to your distributor if you haven't already and say, you know, I will promise to source 100% of my products through you. If we can sit down and go through pricing and make sure that you are getting me the best price based off of, and it might take a little bit of homework, but based off of what the markets are doing, based off of market pricing, commodity pricing, things like that. Now, without skipping too far ahead, one of the benefits to having multiple distributors is that you can let the distributors do that hard work for you and make sure that they are giving you the best price based off of knowing there's somebody else in there giving aggressive pricing. So before we jump further ahead to that, let's stick on the single distributor. So better pricing, there's a saying in distribution and in most industries, most business related industries, that volume cures all sins. That's the same concept here. So if you are giving 100% of your business to one vendor, they should be able to give you the best price possible. All right. So second one is consistency with stocked items. So what I mean by that, if your usage is easier to predict, then my purchasing department or a distributor's purchasing department is going to have an easier time keeping that item in stock. So if you are constantly going back and forth from one vendor buying, you know, 10 cases of tomatoes a week from one guy, and then you're price checking it with another guy, and then you go 10 cases next week with the second distributor because it's 10 cents a case less expensive, then the purchasing department at the first distributor is not going to have a good idea of the volumes that you're ordering. So if you go to order from them next week or every other week, they might not have that item in stock, especially when you, so tomatoes is probably a bad example because that's commodity and they're going to have a lot of them. But when you start looking at one-off specialized items, a certain brand of a canned tomato or a certain, I guess I'm jumping through tomatoes now, or a certain type of obscure cup and lid or something that a lot of people are not ordering, unless you are consistently weekly putting in the same types of volumes with as little fluctuation as possible, you're going to have a hard time getting that item the next time you want to order it if you're not ordering it all the time. Okay, so something else that would be a pro to having a single distributor is that you only have to deal with one salesperson. So you might really like your salesperson or your account manager. You might think they're great. You might not like them. It doesn't matter, but you are more than likely going to have more time to work on your business and in your business and on other things if you're only dealing with and working with one salesperson. So they start to recognize and understand your business and be able to provide some of those business solutions for you based off of your complete attention that you're able to give to them with the amount of time that you're allocating to any distributor. So your time is not spread thin when you're dealing with two or three or multiple salespeople. The other thing that's connected to that is you only have one invoice to pay, only one check to write, or one draft out of your account. So there are a lot of pros just from an efficiency and from a time standpoint, honestly. So you need to make sure that you're addressing the price, but you need to also make sure that you're addressing your time and the amount of time that you're allocating towards looking at the item's cost and looking at different situations that you would be reaching out to multiple distributors for. So does it make more sense just to have one person to deal with? All right, the next thing here is also having to do with your time, specifically deliveries. All right. So if you have one provider, you're only going to have one delivery or two deliveries per week or however that works, however that plans out. That's also going to adjust your labor costs. And that's if you have a manager who is placing the orders, they are going to be placing multiple orders, or if you're calling someone in to put the orders away, especially to process the orders and to double check the invoice, make sure everything's there and to do the processing side, you're going to save money on the labor side if you're only doing that with one delivery per week or only one set of deliveries from one vendor per week. The next thing here is if you have higher commitment to a certain salesperson or a certain company, you're just going to get better service. So whether that be a higher frequency of visits, if that's something that you want from your dedicated salesperson, or whether that is just better service or better attention to detail on the accounts in general. If you are giving 50% of your business to one person and 50% to another person, they are probably going to give you 50% of the interest and the attention when they're processing your orders or following up with purchasing, following up with transportation on any issues that you might have. I'm not saying that's always the case, but 100% of the business usually means 100% of the attention when it comes to that salesperson or account manager or company viewing your account. So higher commitment usually equals better service. The last thing that I wanted to touch on is kind of a group of things, and you usually get a set of resources, or what's referred to in this industry as business resources, when you give or promise 100% of your business, or maybe just even 90% of your business to a single distributor. And what that means, business resources could be anything from menu analysis, where I would come into the store and break down items on your menu and ingredients and even help you go through or do it entirely myself, break down these items and make sure that you are portion costing, and putting the plates together, reverse engineering them to break them down into, you know, this is 30 cents worth of lettuce and this is 15 cents worth of tomato and these are 30 cents for the buns and, you know, all of that. So there is a aspect or component of this menu analysis where you would actually break down the individual items, but I would cost the entire menu as a whole. Make sure that you are pricing different categories and different items on the menu to align with what competitors in the area are charging. You could even back that out and take a look at what you're paying for the overhead on the business, what your labor costs are, and then what your food costs are, and make sure that you're charging the right amount. So that's the right that's the portion that is the menu analysis. I would also go into thinking about business reviews as a whole. Okay, so that's more in line with taking a look at your finances as a restaurant. Taking a look at your P&L, your balance sheets, cash flow statements, anything like that. And that doesn't happen. I would never go into a restaurant and sit down and help them design a menu, cost a menu, and go through the actual business review and take a look at any of their finances and try to give some advice or give some sort of guidance based off of my experience and my understanding of how the finances should look, unless A, I had 100% of the business, or B, I was going after 100% of the business. So that's something that a lot of restaurant operators and owners don't really think about. Normally, you guys have a great understanding of how your business works, but it is always beneficial to put another set of eyes on it. So these are services that a lot of individual salespeople can offer, but these are things that a lot of distributors do offer, but people don't normally think about that. And I think, you know, I just place the order and get my food and that's it. But there are a lot more, there's a lot more to it. And there are a lot of other services in the area of business services, business resources, business reviews that us distributors do and that we like to do. But I don't think any of us would do it unless there was a commitment to have, you know, that at least 90%, maybe 100% of the business. Okay. So those are the pros of having a single distributor. What are the cons? What's the downside to having a single distributor? I kind of already talked about it, but if your sole provider is out of stock or out of stock for an extended period of time, what do? You have to go to a smart food service or cash and carry type or a Costco. You'd have to actually get in your car or order something through Amazon to get you through until they're back in stock. Depending on the volume of your business, your single distributor might be able to pull some strings and have a courier bring some product to their warehouse to get out with your next delivery. But single distributors usually are going to be out of stock on an item, and they'll just be out of stock until an item comes back in stock, or they will offer a substitute. So depending on how strict you are about the items that you use in your dishes, that could be a downside of having a single distributor. The second thing is maybe you're a single restaurant with a territory sales manager who calls on you, or a, you know, a territory based marketing associate. Maybe you just, you don't get along with the area manager, or you don't get along with your salesperson. So that's something to think about. I think that if you don't, distributors, big and small, they usually have somebody else that could come in and work on the account, or maybe you just don't work with that distributor. So those are some of the cons. I suppose my pros, the inverse to all those pro points, would also work in the cons, but those are just two things that I wanted to highlight that normally are the main issues with having a single distributor. All right, next we're looking at the multiple distributors. So what are the pros behind having multiple distributors in your restaurant? I alluded to it before, but one of the main benefits would be the ability to shop around. And specifically, the ability to keep both companies honest, right? So if you have something like a commodities, I've already talked about tomatoes, looking at lettuce and onions and potatoes and anything that is a bulk item, a commodity item, those fluctuate so often that some companies, specifically ones that have rep-controlled pricing, they tend to wait a couple of weeks before dropping that price down to market, and they might even hold the price high until the market price is high again. So you'll never really see a change on that. Another big one to think about is eggs. Dairy products in general, those fluctuate all the time. So if you have two distributors, you're able to ask them on a weekly basis. You might have 5 or 6 items that you say, what is your price on this? What is your price on this? And you can just kind of go through the list. And if they know that there's another distributor in your restaurant, they're probably going to keep their profit margin pretty close to what their sales cost is. So it works a little bit differently whether you're an independent restaurant or a chain restaurant, because a lot of the time chains will have that contracted pricing where it's just a fixed percentage above sales cost. But if you're an independent, you will probably want to ask about what the price is on a regular basis. Unless you've built the rapport, you built the trust, you know that your pricing is fixed and you can trust the people that you're working with, which hopefully that is the situation. But the reality is that there are so many different types of companies with different agendas and different types of salespeople that will potentially want to keep a higher profit margin, whether or not they even think about or know that they're taking advantage of those the commodity price changing. So giving everyone the benefit of the doubt, yeah, your person is taking care of you, but that would be one of the benefits of having multiple distributors, is that you're able to ask those questions. All right. The second benefit, or I guess third benefit behind having multiple distributors in your restaurant would be if one is out of stock on something, then the other might have it. So that's pretty self-explanatory. What are the cons? What are the cons behind having multiple distributors? Honestly, I don't really need to jump too far into it, because the cons are really you're missing out on all the benefits that I laid out in the beginning of having a single provider. So to kind of run through those quickly, you know, better pricing, the volume cures all sins mindset, consistency with stocked item, easier to predict the usage. So the chances are your items are going to be in stock on a regular basis. You only have one salesperson, one company to deal with, one invoice, one delivery driver. You're writing one check or getting one invoice pulled from your account. Your deliveries are easier to plan around. Higher commitment equals better service. And of course, getting access to all of the business resources, menu analysis, pricing, market updates, business reviews. That's the analyzing of your finances and P&L, et cetera. And then having new items marketed to you on a regular basis from the same person who you trust to give you the right information. Okay, so the cons of multiple distributors is that you're missing out on a lot of those points that I just walked through. So that is something to think about, and I said it at the beginning, but I do not think there's any right or wrong direction here. It depends on what size your restaurant is, what kind of volume you're doing, and whether or not you have built that trusting relationship with your distributor. So it all really comes down to what region are you in? Where are, you know, what options do you have? You might be up in the mountains somewhere in Colorado and you only have the option of, you know, one provider and then a local butcher shop to get your proteins. So I don't know that, but on that note, I would actually be more than happy if anyone wanted to reach out to me one off, shoot me an email or shoot me a message on Twitter. And let me know what your situation is, and I'd be happy to give you my insights on, you know, what I think is best for your business from a single or multiple distributor standpoint. Now, I'm a small, I'd say medium-size, regional broadline distributor up here in the Pacific Northwest, but I would love to give my input and my advice to you, no matter where you are in the world. So oddly enough, most of the people who have reached out to me from this podcast are not even in the United States. So what's up, everyone that's listening from another country? I think it's really cool. And the thing is, relationships and business objectives and incentives and the way that we operate from any perspective really does not change from country to country. And no matter what currency you're paying for your food in, the basic principles and fundamentals of food service distribution and the responsibilities of a distributor and a restaurant do not change. So that's why I make this as a podcast and send this out. And I'm more than happy to act as a ghost consultant to anybody, no matter where you are in the world. So let me know. All right, the last thing that I wanted to touch on, I wanted to read, I just wanted to recap something that came through in an email. I love doing this because you guys can kind of get into the look behind the scenes, peek behind the curtain and see what it's like to, you know, for me as a sales professional in the distribution industry, what kind of communications that I'm getting internally and what we are thinking about and talking about as a company. This email was sent from one of my sales managers, actually somebody who hired me years ago when I was in a different position with the same company. And I sent it to all sales, just kind of highlighting the craziness of everything that's going on right now. And two of the most important things and the key things that you should be thinking about are, you know, making friends and asking questions. I thought that was a really cool way to start this. But he also goes on to start talking about how building the customer relationship is an investment that yields the highest possible return in sales. Okay. So sales is, and this is just me talking, sales is not a pitch or a way to market a product or to get in and beat your competition and have a customer or have somebody buy a product or service from you. I always say this, it's customer service. So sales is customer service, and customer service is building a relationship, building trust, building rapport, doing the things that all the things that you can do to improve your customer's business. So that's what it is. It's providing an excellent level of service to a customer, and this can be translated. This isn't just a distributor talking to a restaurant. This is somebody talking to a restaurant on how to better sell your products and services to your customers. So all sales are relatively the same, and they are all about customer service, and that customer service is about relationships. So let me jump back into it. So he starts by, actually, this is very similar to what I was just saying. He starts the four points that I'm going to go through by saying, great selling isn't pitching. It's about building rapport. So that's so important, right? Sales is customer service. Sales is building trust and building relationships and being able to provide a service to your customer, whether you're a distributor, a salesperson, or a restaurant trying to attract customers. It's about building that relationship, that trust, the consistency behind your product or service that when your customers come to you, they're going to get the same thing every single time. And part of that is just building that level of trust and rapport, okay? So rapport is many different things, but sales is not pitching. That's a really, really good way to, especially if you're new, to sales, if you're new to the industry, you want to put together, you think about putting together a presentation and having sales tactics and, you know, knowing everything that you can to disable your customer or your prospect to just sell them. And it's such a dangerous mentality. It's the wrong mentality, in my opinion. And I think that my sales career has been a lot easier than a lot of people's because I've always taken the approach and used the perspective of I'm a consultant and my only job here is to make their business better. So a big part of that is to build that relationship, that friendship, that trust. And that altogether is rapport. All right, so looking at the four pieces, the first thing that he talks about here is talk about what they want to talk about. Okay, so what are their challenges? What are their interests outside of their business? And where do your interests overlap? So that's a big thing about building that relationship is it's not all business. You're going to want to work with the people that you can sit down and have a beer with or that you can discuss some outside interests, similar interests in finance or music or skiing or whatever it is. It's good to build those types of relationships, find their interests and figure out where it overlaps. It's very likely that if you're a salesperson or if you're in the hospitality industry at all, you naturally like people. And so it's not going to come off as you're trying to, you know, learn something about someone just so you can use it at a later date. And I wouldn't accuse that on anyone, but you just, you know, be genuine and be genuinely interested. And again, you know, if you're in this industry, whether it be hospitality or restaurants or sales, chances are you're here because you like to be around and learn about other people. So that shouldn't be a problem for anyone listening. Number two, want them to want to talk to you, right? So this is something that it can get really easy, especially in hospitality, definitely in restaurants, to be having a bad day and not to, some people aren't very pleasant to be around when they're having a tough day or when they're stressed. So remember that if you're a distributor calling on restaurants or if you're a restaurant dealing with and working with customers, make sure that you are somebody that people are going to want to be around, right? So to be a positive influence or to be helpful, kind, positive, be the kind of customer that they want. So if you're a salesperson listening, be the type of customer that a restaurant is going to want to serve, okay? So when you walk into a restaurant, don't bring any of your outside baggage, your, you know, boss is holding you to a standard you can't hit, or, you know, you weren't able to hit your KPIs or whatever the reason is, personal stuff going on. Leave that stuff behind. If you have a close, tight relationship, it's okay to, you know, talk to somebody and vent and let them know that you're not having a great day. But for the most part, leave that stuff outside. Leave it behind. It's the same thing if you're a restaurant owner and you have customers coming in. Great. Line cook didn't show up and dishwasher didn't show up and, you know, you sales are bad and all this stuff's going on, especially right now. Tension's high. People are stressed. Be the kind of operator that customers want to be around. They go in and they remember that experience. It was positive. It was fun. It was awesome. The energy was great. Okay. So number three, turn unawareness to awareness. So this is a good one because this is, like I was saying, I try to always be a consultant. I always try to put myself in operator's shoes and adopt that consultant mentality. What is it that I know that my restaurant or my customer does not know that's going to improve their business? So if there's something that they're unaware of, whether that be a trend in the market or a change in price in commodities or something coming down the pike, like when I saw today that there are restaurants shutting down, that's something that I'm letting my customers know. Hey guys, just south of us, there's restaurants shutting down. So this is something you might want to be thinking about. That could potentially happen up here in Washington, or it could happen in Oregon or Idaho or somewhere else. So what is it that you know that they don't know that you would able to make them aware of? All right. So the last one here on the, you know, four, I don't even know what I'm calling this part, just the four things to think about while selling or while making a sale, a transaction of sorts, and approaching it from that customer service and relationship building mindset. The fourth one is turn curiosity into interest. All right. So how I would summarize this, turn curiosity into interest, is that just to remember that your purpose as a salesperson, or as a operator, is to improve your customer's business or the customer experience by giving them a product or giving them a service that works the best for what they are looking for, or yields the best result for them. Okay. So that's kind of hard. I broke that down in two, if you're a salesperson or if you're a restaurant owner. So I guess we can do it one at a time. But if you're a salesperson or a distributor or somebody that is calling on a restaurant, calling on a small business, calling on any business, remember that it's your purpose to improve your customer's business, right? To improve that restaurant's business by giving them the products that work for their customers with the tools needed to sell to their customers. So whether those tools are information or product knowledge or marketing techniques or whatever that is, that's your purpose when you go in there. As a restaurant, same thing, same type mentality. If there's a customer that comes in and they are unaware of or maybe interested in, curious about something that they haven't tried before, make sure that they have the resources, whether that be the bartender or the server or just marketing that you have on. Maybe this is a new product. Maybe this is something new that you haven't tried before that you should try. Okay, so turn curiosity into interest. So those are the four. Those are the four pieces here that I thought it was an incredible email. And we get emails like this and communications like this from our leadership team on a regular basis. So over time, I'll be finishing wrapping up episodes with, you know, not reading verbatim some of our internal emails, but kind of highlighting the key points and the key takeaways. And I'll wrap this episode up by wrapping up by reading the end of this email that again was pretty cool. It stood out. Love your customers and genuinely care about their business and see what happens. Okay, so that speaks for itself. That's the communication that our leadership is getting down to us, to all sales in my company. And there's a lot of us. So that is the message that we're being told, or that's the message we're being given, and that we are trying to pass on as we go about our day. Love your customers. Okay. So that's what I'll leave you with. Love your customers. And I didn't touch on this at the beginning of the episode, so I'll just put it here, but I haven't gotten a lot of feedback on this, but it sounds like the audio format of this podcast is a lot more helpful. So I have been doing a YouTube version of these where I'm recording. I just pretty much have a camera looking right at me, and I'm talking into the camera while I'm recording these episodes, right? So I do one, I record it to my podcast distributor, and then the other one I edit separately and I put on YouTube. So I have not gotten a lot of traction on the YouTube videos, but it is a tremendous amount of extra work to do that. So here's what I'm going to do. Any of these solo podcasts where it's just me talking about a topic, I'm going to distribute from now on just as a audio format. And anytime that I interview someone, I will put it on YouTube. It'll still be an audio, but I'll do an audio and video version. So if that ruined anybody's day, please let me know. But based on the views and the likes that I've gotten on YouTube, I don't think anybody's going to miss those videos. So that's it. That's all I got for you. I really appreciate you listening. As always, reach out. I'm at foodservicepod on Twitter. I'm also at DMLAYT. That's my personal Twitter. I talk about two completely separate things on either page, but I absolutely would love to connect with anybody in distribution, food service, restaurants, any of this stuff on either page, on either handle, because we're, you know, the in the best industry that has ever existed, right? All right, everybody, take care. Tip your waitress. Make sure you're being safe out there, and have a fantastic, safe 4th of July weekend if I don't talk to you between now and then. All right. Love your customer. Take care, everyone.